The teachings of General Conference are the considerations the Lord would have before us now and in the months ahead.
Our marching orders for each 6 months are found in the General Conference addresses.
For the next 6 months, your conference edition of the Ensign should stand next to your standard works and be referred to frequently.
I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein.
I exhort you to study the messages of this conference frequently, even repeatedly, during the next 6 months.
You're listening to the Conference Talk Podcast, where it's conference weekend every weekend. Each weekend on this show, we discuss talks from the most recent General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We'll share some insights, make some connections, and hopefully have some fun along the way. I'm your host, Melissa Fugaza, and today we'll be discussing Elder Mary Lee Sabin's address called Hallmarks of Happiness. For this episode, I have invited two special guests that we have not had before. Please say hello to Camilla and Tiffany Brantley. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Would you like to share just a little bit about yourselves really quick?
Sure. I'm Tiffany.
And I'm Camilla.
We're two sisters that moved from Utah to Tennessee. That's how we met Melissa. And we are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And we are just happy to be here. We're just living our best life.
Yep.
That's so awesome. So I have to fully disclaim that these poor sisters I minister to at church. So
we're lucky.
I say, hey, you want to be on the podcast? Yeah, this is what I do. I recruit my people to be on the podcast. So
we would do anything for you.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet. You really need to reconsider that thought, though. That I think it really creative.
I'm making some of your famous chocolate chip cookies. Other than that.
I will make those for sure. For sure. I always have ingredients on hand for that. So we're good on that. So, okay. I'm going to give just a brief little bio on Elder Sabin because this was actually only his second conference talk that he ever gave. So I don't know him very well personally. So I'm just going to list off a couple little facts about him. He was sustained as a General Authority 70 back in April of 2016. He served as a counselor and president of the Europe area, and he currently is serving as assistant executive director of the Temple Department. A member of the Welfare and Self-Reliance Committee, a member of the Boundary and Leadership Committee, and member of the North America West Area Presidency. So the man is very busy. From a professional standpoint, he's really very impressive. He got his bachelor's degree from Brigham Young University and his master's from Stanford. He was the founder and chairman and CEO of two New York Stock Exchange listed companies. And he was also the founder and chairman of Sabin Holdings. So he was born in Provo, Utah, on April 7th, 1954. He married his wife, Valerie, in August of 1976. And they were the parents of six children. I don't usually like to share sad things on podcasts, but it also says that two of his children are deceased. And the reason I bring that up is as I was reading this talk, he talks about two children having, one for sure had cystic fibrosis, and the other one, it sounds like, may have also had cystic fibrosis. So I'm assuming is the big key word here, that those children may have been the two that have passed away. So it kind of makes their personal stories that he shares on here even more touching.
Yeah. I didn't know they had passed.
Yeah,
I didn't either. They may not have. It would be even sadder if there were two other children. I'm assuming, I have to use a keyword, I'm assuming that that's who they were. Right. But very, very sad. But that's very cool. I really liked his talk. I don't hate conference talks. I guess I should probably...
There are definitely some that resonate with you more than others. I agree with that.
Yeah, but sometimes, y'all have your favorites, right? I mean, yeah. I think a lot of us can safely say we've really missed Elder Holland.
Yeah.
He's always kind of been my favorite. But yeah, even certain 70s and certain apostles, they'll get up and I'm like, yay, like, this is one of my favorites, you know? And so sometimes when it's just, not one of those people, and they give a really good talk. I'm like, wow, that talk was really good. Like, like it never.
I'm like, wait, who were they again?
I know.
I'm like, wait, who was that? Like the top three. I'm like, they've changed so much. I'm like, I don't know, but you did a good job.
I know. They did good. And this was his second, like I said, this was his second talk in general conference. So I think he did a good job. He nailed it.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I went through and I read, I've mentioned this to other people that I've done the episodes with, but the way I like to prepare for these podcast episodes is I like to watch the talk and pick up on just, I'm a very visual person. So I love watching it again and listening to them and watching them talk. And then I print off the talk and I mark off the things that I really like and stuff. So just to trim it all back, it's very cool. He sets up this talk as listing what he calls hallmarks. So he comes up with five different hallmarks of happiness in his talk. And I think another good reason that I love his talk is he told, what was it, like four or five different personal stories.
It was like a window into his life.
Yeah. And it was really fun because they were really great stories, but they're also like really funny too. And
yes.
And stuff, really relatable. And anyway, that's what I love. So I would like to just go by hallmark. We can kind of just pitch in what we think. Okay. So the first hallmark he said is that we should build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, that it's essential to our happiness. So what do y'all think about that? What comes to your mind when you hear that or read that?
Well, first of all, every time you keep saying hallmark, because it is the season of Hallmark movies, that's what I think of. And I was like, that was really smart of him to use that.
Yeah, it's true. Like, I'm fully Hallmark. In. Yeah, I've already seen like six movies so far. Yep.
Yeah, totally. But also, like, it reminds me of President Nelson's talk where, like, Jesus Christ is always the answer. So if you can build your foundation on him, you know, the very core and base of the gospel, then you can build on that and go from anywhere. And so I really liked that he starts with that, because I feel like that's the best place to start. You could start in other branches of the gospel and maybe your testimony would waver, and it's like, oh well, then it kind of has this domino effect. But when you start with Jesus Christ, then it's like, you know, building upon that rock, that, you know, when the winds come and all the rains, you know, come down and flood, you're okay. It doesn't mean that you weren't, you know, affected by it, but it means you're okay because you started with that foundation in Jesus Christ. So I thought it was brilliant. I was like, yeah, good job, dude. I agree.
Yeah, he framed it in perfect way. Kicked it off in a good way, right?
Yeah.
Tiffany, what do you think?
I was thinking about how I heard this quote a couple days ago, and it was like, remember that you can't build a house without a foundation. And every time we dive back into the foundation of Jesus Christ, like and where you build your foundation, it always takes you back to the basics. And you kind of go to the primary answers in your brain. Because every time I hear that, I'm like, you know, build your house upon a rock, right? Like Cammie said. But in reality, the reason why he bases this is because your basics are where everything else comes from. And I wasn't even surprised that that was the first thing he started off with. Because I think we all need that reminder. And sometimes, like, I think I had an experience earlier this year where I was really just kind of losing it. My brain was just like everywhere. And I just kept saying, like, okay, we just got to like fix our foundation. We just got to fix our foundation. Like, we got to go back to the basics. And this brought me right back there again. And I think it's an interesting concept when you don't have the knowledge of Jesus Christ in your life and you don't have the Savior. Like, I think I would have lost so much hope. And coming back to this, when he's like, this is number one, like, if you have your foundation set in the Savior, like, everything else follows. And that's kind of where he placed the rest of the four, is it followed the foundation of Jesus Christ. Like, everything came from that beginning. And so it really hit home for me.
Yeah. This is going to sound weird, but maybe I'm just being more hypersensitive to it. But I feel like more and more talks are really I don't want to say pushing because that doesn't sound right, but they're really emphasizing that Jesus Christ is the answer for absolutely everything. And it sounds weird to say that because we are members of his church. And so it just kind of goes without saying that we would talk about him a lot. But I like how, Camilla, how you said that it's going back to, it's the foundation, it's the basic part. And Tiffany, you touched on that as well, that it all is like, if our foundation is secure, if we have Jesus Christ in our life, then we build upon that and there's no need to fear. And there are just so many things that are going on right now. I really feel like people are just forgetting about that basic foundational principle that Jesus Christ really is the answer. And so I feel the same way that it's, of course, it makes sense that he would mention this first in his talk, but it also is kind of sad that we're still having to go this route, right? That it has to be brought up continuously because for some reason we're not remembering that over and over again.
Yeah.
So interesting. Okay. The second hallmark is he said, we need to remember that we are sons and daughters of a loving heavenly father. I don't know if y'all watched the young adult devotional. I think it was back in May of, it was last year. It was President Nelson and Sister Nelson, where they invited the youth of the church to be, not warriors, but, you know, to be part of the, what's the word? It's tribes of Israel, and to really join up and join up in that whole army and to do their things. Anyway, but one of the main identifiers he talks about is that our most important identifier is that we are children of God. And that's been echoed in further talks and things like that. So I like how this is also him emphasizing that again. So what do y'all think about that? Or what would you like to add about that?
I like the shoulder shrug.
I do little dances sometimes.
I do sound effects when I talk about the gospel. Or I go gangster. I don't know why. I'll be like, Jesus makes is my dance. Dude. And I don't know why. But I agree with this one. I feel like coming back to what you said about primary songs, like the number one primary song is I Am a Child of God. And I feel like as we get older, like I tend to like separate myself from that, and it's like I know it, but I haven't internalized it into tapping into that potential. I'm like, oh yeah, that person can totally do that. They're like limitless. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I have that same divine identity. Like I'm a freaking princess. Like
yeah. You
but,
are.
But I feel like the world is just totally just attacking the family and our beliefs in Jesus Christ, which is why I feel like they're, you know, trying to remind us and encourage us to remember this. And so I feel like it reminds me of that Friday when we had that devotional with the Sister Johnson.
Yeah, Sister Colonel Johnson. Yeah.
President Johnson, yeah. And that was one of her main things, was like to tell us about that we're loved, right? And that we're loved by Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. And that he loves us personally. And it's like, oh yeah, like I need to remember that and not, you know, disconnect myself from that in a weird kind of out of body experience way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's funny because when I first read it, I don't know about you, but my brain goes like all sorts of places. And all I could think about when it was like, remember who you are, is like Mufasa and Simba, and he's like, remember who you are.
I think about that.
Yes. And I don't know why, because like spiritually wise, sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I think God knows that I need to hear it a different way, because I feel like these are all things we know or we've been told at some point. And so sometimes I feel like it's like, oh, this again. And your brain's not really, because it's something spiritual, it's not really connecting like how deep it is. Like, you are a child of God. Do you know who you are? Do you genuinely look in the mirror and say, wow, like God created me in his image, I am his daughter, I need to like hold myself accountable and hold my shoulders up high because of that. But then all of a sudden my brain instantly thinks of Lion King and I'm like, or who you are. And it is like, how, oh, that when was so powerful. You start running
across the fields and you're like,
yeah. You like for some reason feel that. But I think that's kind of something amazing about Heavenly Father and his plan, right, is like he takes it from the bottom and he's like, how will I make it so these dum-dums can understand like what it is? Because I think especially with the youth of the church right now, there's so much coming at them, and like ourselves included, right? We're not, but whatever. Anyways, but like, I just feel like there's so much coming at them, and less they're remembering who they are and why that's important. And it just like my brain goes to Lion King, but it's because even that, like even growing up with that in mind, like when he says that, I don't stop and think like, oh yeah, I'm like my parents' daughter. My brain does go back to that, you know, I am a child of God. And it's humbling to go back to that foundation and be like, oh, like, okay, this is who I am. And how can I hold myself accountable to that? And when he talks about later on in the talk, or like in this section, he talks about how he sat behind someone in a plane ride and he has a tattoo on the back of his neck, this big old burly guy. If you read this, it goes over his whole visual. And so it's very descriptive, but it's this big dude who has this tattoo on the back of his neck. And he's like, I've got to ask him like what this means. What is this? And he asks him, and he literally like, he gets so like riled up, and not in a bad way, but he's just proud of it. And he's like, that's me. That's who I am. I own that territory. And he actually says the tattoo number wrong. And he's like, should I tell him? He's so proud of this. And yet, like, he said it wrong. Oops. But he goes into it. And this was something that was really cool. He said how sad it was that this man's identity and self-esteem were based on a number associated with a gang territory. Realizing that he's just a little boy who still needed to feel valued and belonging. And imagine, like, if you go into it and you're like, imagine if you looked at your life through heaven's eyes, not through whether it's the gang or the world or whatever it is. Imagine how that little boy inside this big man would be changed if he knew who he was and where he came from, unconnected from the world. And like that, just like between Simba and like that story of him.
And then he like put it into Egypt.
Yes, like it all just like,
yeah.
Look at your life. Yeah, exactly. So
it's like dancing about him.
It was powerful.
Yeah, I know. I thought about that too. I thought, oh my goodness, I love how he pointed that out. Like that he was a boy at one time. He was someone's little boy, and look at how much his life, like just the trajectory, just deviated so far. And
yeah,
you think about that. That is really sad because Heavenly Father loves every single one of his children. I'm a mom of two kids. I love both of my girls. They don't believe me, but I love them just as much as the other one. I don't love one of them more than the other. I don't. I can't imagine losing one of them, you know, or them forgetting about me. Like, that's just unimaginable. So, yeah, I love that. So, okay. Moving on to number three. The third hallmark is to always remember the worth of a soul, which I actually kind of feel like we just talked about a little bit.
Yeah,
I think if we remember who we are and remember that everyone else is a child of God, then we're all valuable. And for me, I forget this, obviously, when someone cuts me off when I'm driving or, you know,
the road
things like, real. Right. But for me, it's like, oh, this is a great reminder that I need to love other people. I need to remember that too, not just my worth, but I need to remember everyone else's worth. And that, in turn, if you do a good job of remembering, that helps you live your life every day, right? Following the two greatest commandments that God gave us, right? So I do love that part as well. And he goes on to saying about being kind and being forgiving and non-judgmental. And he tells a really funny story about his wife and son getting skunked. And then they're trying to, you know, they think they're rid of the smell, but they aren't. And they go to a movie theater and people are like, ugh, trying to move away from them. I really like that part too. But I just, it also reminded me in my scripture study today, actually, I'm very slowly moving through the New Testament. I'm trying to read it all the way through instead of just the come follow me highlighted chapters that we do. And I'm in Hebrews. I think I'm in Hebrews chapter 4. And yeah, there was a part that I was reading today that was talking about how we need to we need to remember that we're all the same. Like, we all make mistakes. We all have done things that we're not proud of, and it doesn't make us better than anybody else. And we can't afford to be judgy. That's God's job. You know, that's God and Heavenly Father's job. And I love, there is a quote, and I didn't get it, so I'm not gonna be able to add it in here, but it was, I'm gonna paraphrase, where it said that we need to stop trying to take over their jobs of judging. And I really liked that phrase, right? It's like, oh yeah, we do. I need to stop doing that, you know? Although there are people sometimes that I'm like, you need Jesus. Like,
y'all need Jesus.
Y'all need Jesus. Here in the South, you hear that, and it is very true. There are people that need to remember. But, and so I also love a quote from President Nelson that he quotes. Elder Saban quotes this. He says, one of the easiest ways to identify a true follower of Jesus Christ is how compassionately that person treats other people. I love that. I think that might have to become a bumper sticker or something. I don't know. I'll have to make like a sweatshirt or something. But
I was going to say, t-shirt.
So I'm going to move on to the next hallmark. And that is the fourth one. And it's to maintain an eternal perspective. How would that help us?
Well, it reminds me of the Think Celestial that President Nelson's talking about.
I wrote that down on my thing.
Yeah. And I feel like that's huge, because you get just so sucked up into like your everyday life, or even just the moment, or, oh, I need to do this task or this task. And if I like think celestial, then it's like, oh, well, this task necessarily doesn't matter in eternities. But, you know, I feel like I love the story he shared about his daughter. You know, she's getting parts of her lungs replaced. And I was like, what? Like, he just throws that in there. Let's talk about happiness. And then she has to have this huge surgery. And she's like, either I'll wake up with new lungs, or I'll wake up in a better place. And I was inspired by that, because I would have been like, well, I guess I'll see ya. Bye. Like, I don't know if I would have had that positive faith that she has, but she has that eternal perspective that either way, in the end, it will work out.
Yeah. I know. I was just thinking as we were talking that really this talk in and of itself is a testament to how these hallmarks of happiness actually can make you happy. Because here is this man who, he's sharing all these personal experiences, and clearly we've read that two of his children have died. But look at him. He's giving this talk, and he's smiling, and he's laughing, and he's happy. And that really, to me, is a testament that what he is talking about is true. If you remember these things, then you can be happy no matter what happens in your life, right? And I just thought that was really, it was a really sad story about her having her double lung transplant. But at the same time, after I was done reading it, I took like deep breaths.
Yes.
And I was like, I take that for granted. I need to be better about remembering the simpler things in my life that I take for granted because I don't have an illness or something like that about it.
Okay. Well, Go. He just even said, you said, oh, like I took a deep breath, and it even says, even the air we breathe is a loving like loan from him. Like, so we should wake up each morning with a humble prayer of gratitude, because literally even the air you breathe, whether it's a lung transplant or just your normal daily healthy day, like it's all a gift from God, and you should start it with a prayer of gratitude. Just like that. That's like humbling to think.
Yeah. And it's going back to what we were saying at the beginning. These are so simple. All of these things that he says are so simple, but they are, it's like stripped away from all, we're trimming all the fat that we pile on about the gospel, right? And it gets back to the basics that really are the most important things. Okay, the last one, and it's so poetic that we're doing this before Thanksgiving next week, because the fifth one he shares is, you will never be happier than you are grateful. I love how he words that. You will never be happier than you are grateful. I think that's so cool. You guys have any thoughts on that?
It makes me think, so I started this gratitude journal a while back, and I just think really gratitude is humbling, because if you stop and look at even just one single day, even the fact that you woke up is something. Like, I always wake up and say, I'm grateful that I was alive today. And I think about that, and I just think that everything we have is from God. And anytime you are unhappy, It's usually because, you know, your selfish thoughts, your crazy thoughts, whatever it is, and to jump back into like a mindset of gratitude, like changes your whole perspective. I think that is the eternal perspective, right? Like that is thinking celestial, is giving gratitude to God and to who you are, and knowing your worth, knowing another person's worth, and stepping into that is like, it's everything.
Yeah. It's like, amen. Let's just
amen.
No, but it's true. I this again, like I said, when I listened to this talk or watched this talk, I thought, wow, this is a really good talk. But I think now that I've gone over it again with you guys as well, it's just I think the best part about this talk is it just reminds us of just doing these simple basic things. And when we do the simple basic things, we're the ones that complicate it, right?
Yeah.
We do the simple basic things, we're gonna be okay. We're gonna feel peace. We're gonna be happy. Regardless of what happens in our lives, it'll be all okay because it all works out. So I really like that. I really like that a lot.
I just want to give a big thank you to the Brownlee sisters for assisting me with this podcast episode. It was so fun to just talk to them, insights on these conference talks that hit us all differently. I love that so much about conference talks. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Conference Talk Podcast. This episode, we discussed Elder Gary B. Sabin's talk called Hallmarks of Happiness. I highly recommend that you read it and study it and watch it however you want to. It was a beautiful, beautiful talk, and he shares some pretty great stories. If you enjoyed this episode, give us a 5-star rating. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, and everywhere you get podcasts. You can find links to all our podcast platforms on our website, conferencetalk.org. This is also where you can follow us on social media, drop us a comment, check out the show notes, find the resources we mentioned in the episodes, and learn more about us, your hosts. If you want to follow me, Melissa Fugaza, you can friend me on Facebook. Big thanks to our podcast guests, Tiffany and Camilla Brandley, for joining us today. You can follow Tiffany at TMI, her podcast that she has on Spotify and YouTube. While we always appreciate new followers, it's better to follow the prophet and the apostles themselves. And remember, although we love speaking about the church and our leaders, we do not speak for them. Everything said on this podcast represents our own personal opinions and experiences. Join us next week for some more personal opinions on Conference Talk Podcast.